7, Rescue the Perishing, song number 377.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
All right, everybody, welcome to the second day of the Missions Conference. You can probably guess what day this is today. Africa. The ladies did a great job with the decorating. Looks great in here. So before we get into the announcements for the conference, I want to start out with just a few cultural things about Africa. First of all, Africa contains 1.1 billion people. So it's a huge population in Africa. It's 16% of the world's population. Now, I've only really spent time in one African country, which is Botswana, but I picked up a few things while I was there that I think are universal to a lot of places in Africa. One of the big things that stood out to me was the handshake. All right, Brother Boy, you want to come up and we'll demonstrate the handshake. Everywhere you go, this is the handshake. You basically do like this, and then you go like this, and then you go like this. And then sometimes there's even a little snap, okay? And what's funny is that, you know, typically in the U.S., if you did those kind of handshakes, it'd be like a teenager thing, or maybe, you know, just the really cool kids would have the handshakes. But over there, I mean, you walk up to just a grandma, and she's just like, hey, what's up? So that's one of the things that you'll find, I think, pretty much all over Africa. So that was pretty cool. And then the other thing, I was only there for a short time, but one of the things I noticed was just the obsession with cleanliness and taking showers. So everybody, when we were there, wanted to take a shower morning and night, 2 showers a day. And they would try to kind of pressure you to take a shower, too. Like, they'd say to you, like, so, you want to take a shower? I'm like, well, you know, I just took a shower this morning. And they're like, yeah, that was kind of a long time ago. You know, you sure you don't want to take another shower tonight? And then what's funny is you see all these signs up everywhere that say, you know, save water, save lives. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you have blood on your hands, you know, you're drinking all the water out of shower. But another weird thing that we saw when we were over there was they had these mobile circumcision vans, okay? This was very strange. But we pulled up past this one, like, parking lot, and they had, like, a semi-tractor trailer there set up. And it was like the circumcision mobile. And they had like a, it was like a party. They're playing music, and they had like an MC there, like trying to get people to get circumcised. And then people would just show up, and it was just like, and I'm thinking, that's a sketchy circumcision, like in the out of the back of a semi. Who saw that when you were over there? I know Brother Shane saw it. Can I get a witness? All right, we got a couple witnesses. That was pretty wild. And then another thing over there was the airtime. So over, you know, over here we have cell phones and we have unlimited minutes. Pretty much everybody has unlimited minutes, unlimited data. But over there, they're just constantly having to buy more airtime for their phone. And you'd have these little receipts and you're like using them as a currency. You know, you're like trading these little receipts of airtime so you can charge up your phone for like another 20 minutes or another like 30 minutes at a time. We're just constantly having to replenish more airtime. And you're just thinking like, don't you guys just pay like 20 bucks a month and it's just unlimited? But anyway, so we've got another snack to try today. This one, too many people wanted to try the Vegemite. This one's a little bit more daring involved. So these are basically like these little dried out caterpillars. But I'm telling you, kids over there love these. Like they were walking around and just eating these things like they were popcorn. I mean, just they're very popular over there. So, all right, let's start with the teenagers. Guys, you want who wants to try one of these caterpillars? All right. Get these guys up here. Whoops. Oh, this one touched the ground. You might not want to eat it. Nope, 5 second rule. All right, here we go. Give it a shot. You're first. All right, what do you think?
It's something.
All right, Isaac, what is it bad?
No, it tastes horrible.
All right, here we go. I mean, this is, if you were growing up in Africa, this would be like your, this would be like your Doritos. This would be your Takis.
Yeah, it just tastes like a chip.
It just tastes like chips, yeah, right? So if you didn't look at it, it's just eating, you want a second? You look like you really like it. Yeah. All right, well, we found somebody who likes it. There we go. So anyway, we got a few more bags. If you go ask Paul Wittenberger nicely, I'm sure he'll let you try one. He's a big fan on getting other people to eat them. But anyway, and then we've also got the Africa trading cards for all the kids. So anybody who's under 18, we're going to hand these out. So who's helping me pass these out? I think I got a couple people with these, and then maybe a couple other guys could help me out. Just make sure all the kids get one. So if you got a kid near you that's under 18, or if you're under 18, put up your hand. Make sure you get your trading card. And remember, if you show up for soul winning, you can get another trading card. If you show up at the movie, just anything you go to, you can get a trading card, and you can collect them throughout the conference, and there's a game that you can play with them as well. All right, and then we got a few trivia questions about Africa. So what's the largest lake in Africa? And this is for a lion bar, all right? Largest lake in Africa.
Lake Victoria.
Lake Victoria, you got it. All right, so I'm not very good at throwing. So I'm afraid to throw and hit the decorations, so I have to hold back. All right, and then the tallest mountain in Africa, what country is it in? The tallest mountain, yes. What country is it in?
Tanzania.
All right, we're going to give you one anyway for getting the name of the mountain. All right, there we go. Very good. All right, what, raise your hand if you know what country is it in?
Zambia.
Nope. Nope.
Tanzania.
All right. Very good. All right. It's in Tanzania, Mount Kilimanjaro. All right. What's the largest island in Africa or that's part of Africa? You already got one. Who else said it? I heard it over here, too. Yep. All right. All right. You got it first, but, you know, you're trying to double dip there. This guy knows Africa. All right. So announcements. So hopefully you have a conference schedule. So again, today we've got Pastor Bogard and Brother Chris Segura speaking to us this morning. And then the Deported premiere is kind of the big thing today. So don't miss it, all right? Now, it's almost a half hour away. It's in Phoenix on the north side of Phoenix, Super Saver Cinemas 8 on Bell Road. So you can either go at 1 o'clock, 3:20, 5:40, 8 o'clock. You don't have to be signed up. It's just signing up was just to kind of help us figure out when most people are going. But you can show up to any of those show times. If you want to watch it twice, whatever you want. And then there's going to be other stuff going on here. 1 o'clock, we got soul winning. 3:20, we've just got a 45-minute seminar on learning a foreign language. And then there's another breakout session with Brother Corbin Russell that's going to be available for about 15 or 20 people. And that's for making soul-winning maps through Google Maps. He's got a really cool system, and he's got it down to a science. He's got some tricks and things. So you guys will be working on a computer back here behind me in the offices. We got room for about 15 or 20. So that'd be like mainly pastors or people that are running a soul-winning program at their church or want to run a soul-winning program at their church. Then we'll have you go with Brother Russell if you have no interest in learning a foreign language. And then at 5:40, we're going to have a soul winning time meeting up here to Little Africa. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have the testimonies from Africa and Australia. So please sign up. And no matter what country you're from, be sure to sign up in the back. Hit that back table throughout the day and sign up for testimonies. So we'd love to hear from everybody who is from these places. Today is Africa and Australia. Tomorrow's Asia. Saturday is Caribbean, Canada, America is Latin America. And then Sunday is Europe. So be sure to sign up for the testimonies. And then we've also got some special lunches going on today. Right after the morning service, we're going to be meeting here at 11:45. And that's going to be for Western Europe. You're going to meet with me. Africa, you're going to meet with Pastor Aaron Thompson. And then the other one is, I'm drawing a blank, help me out, Australia with Pastor Sepulveda. So those are the three lunches that are happening today. If you could sign up, that'd be great, just so that we can see your name on there and have an inkling. But meet up with us at 11:45, and we'll head over to the restaurant. And then, of course, tomorrow, just read the schedule carefully. If you have any questions, ask one of us. But that's about it for announcements. So at this time, we're going to sing our next song. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me in Yoruba. Now, don't be intimidated by this. This is actually one of the easiest ones we're doing all week. So it's good that we're starting with it. Somebody give me one of those green sheets if you got an extra one. Thank you. So put up your hand if you don't have a green sheet. They should be inside the hymnals. So check the hymnals or put up your hand and get one. This is actually one of the easiest ones we're going to sing. It's a piece of cake. This is one of the languages of Nigeria. Now, again, a little bit about Africa. Nigeria is by far the most populated country in Africa, okay? So it's a huge country population-wise. They have three main languages, Yoruba, Hausa, and Igbo, and then they have over 500 other minor languages. But Yoruba is kind of the big one in the sense that the big city is Lagos, Nigeria, and that's what they speak in Lagos. If you go to Nigeria, that's probably where you'd end up going is Lagos, and they speak Yoruba. So on the back of this is the simplified version. That's what you're going to want to do. Unless you're the one person here who's a native Yoruba speaker, you're going to want to be on the back on the simplified version. And then basically, if you can read English, you can read this, okay? Because I broke it down exactly what it sounds like to an American eardrum. And so when you see like those little short sounds and long sounds, that tells you exactly how to pronounce this. So get on the simplified version, and we're going to go ahead and sing Jesus Loves Me in Yoruba. Let's sing it out on that first verse. Go ahead and give me the intro. Jesu fe mi e mi mo, bi be li so fun mi be, ti re la wan a ma de, wan ko lok bara o ni. Ah, Jesu fe mi, ah, Jesu fe mi, ah, Jesu fe mi, bi beli sa fun mi, Jesu fe mi, Otiku La Tisiarun Sile Yoweshaminu Yoje Kamare Wale Aje Sufemi Aje Sufemi Aje Sufemi Bibeli Safun Mi Jesu fe mi, o fe mi, bie mi ti le sai san, lo ra ke te arun mi, o ti te re wa sha mi, a Jesu fe mi, a Jesu fe mi. Jesu fe mi, bibeli safun mi. Piece of cake, right? Man, I closed my eyes. I thought I was in Nigeria for a minute there. So anyway, we're going to be singing songs like that throughout the week, and they're all going to be broken down like this, except Spanish. We expect that you just know how to read Spanish. But everything else, we're breaking down and making it simple like that. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and read our scripture this morning. And so at this time, we're going to turn our Bibles to Matthew 28. I'm going to have Brother Enrique Reyes come and lead us in scripture reading. You can follow along silently as he reads. Matthew chapter number 28, starting in verse number 1. You can follow along silently. Matthew 28.
Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came in the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just open our minds and our hearts and our spirits to the word that's going to be brought by Brother Chris Segura and Pastor Bogart. And Lord, just help us to have a good day and a good preaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Firstly, I would like to take this opportunity to greet each and everyone. Greetings from Cape Town, South Africa. I'd like to greet or thank Pastor Stephen Anderson and the leadership for affording me the opportunity to be here this morning. So like the airtime in Nigeria and South Africa and Botswana, so does the English runs out when you're not English speaking. So you just need to bear with me, and I'm going to try my best to preach what God has laid on my heart. If we have a look at Matthew 28, and I would like to concentrate on verse 19 and 20, and if we have a look at Matthew 28, we will see that this is the last command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last command of our Lord Jesus Christ should be our first priority. And it is our duty as children of God to go out and reach souls, win souls for the Lord. There is no church, if you're a Christian and you don't go out, you're no Christian. Because God instructs us, this is his last command, go ye. And then the Bible says, Matthew 28, 19, say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I take it when Jesus gave us the instruction to go out into the world, Jesus knew that we are going to come across a bunch of faggots. He knew it. He knew it. He knew that we are going to encounter different types of persecution. But Jesus said, I will be with you. That is a guarantee that is given unto us, that he will be with us. Even though we are persecuted, even though we are going through persecution, he will be with us always. He says in the Bible that he will never forsake us, and he will never, ever will he leave us. So I am glad, even though I go through persecution, I have the blessed assurance, the last command of our Lord Jesus Christ. My first priority, I will go, I will preach, and no matter what happens to me, he will be with me. And that is a guarantee that I have. If we have a look, over 200 million Christians are being persecuted around the world on a daily basis. That is just in 1 year. 4,500 Christians lost their lives. Now, we as Christians sometimes have a problem to go and knock a door because we are scared. Let me tell you something about scared. I stay in an area where you have to duck and dive for bullets. Sometimes we go out, we do soul winning, then we hear gunshots. We just have to duck and dive, and then we have to continue because the Lord says, go out and preach the gospel. They need to hear. I can say this testimony. One evening we did some soul winning. I found a teenager and I spoke to him about the Lord. And I gave him the gospel. In his pants he had a gun. His mission was to go out and have a hit on another gangster. And that evening, I led that young man to the Lord. And that young man came to church the Sunday. And he said to me, Pastor, my friend that was sent to the other side of the same township where the church is in, he was caught killing a person. So I thank God. It is so important for us as Christians to go out, no matter what people say. The Bible doesn't say that we're not going to encounter hardships. We will. Because this is what we signed up. This is a war that we are fighting, and we should be ready. How do we prepare ourselves for this war? We prepare ourselves for this war by reading the Bible, doing the will of God. Whether they like us or not, we are not in a popularity contest, so we will preach against them. We will preach against Sodomites. We will preach against anyone that comes up against the word of the Lord. So my encouragement for you, imagine 4,500 Christians being killed in 1 year. 1,800 or 1,900 churches has been torn down. 3,200 Christians around the world being detained for preaching the word of God. So the word of God, friends, if we are true to the word of God, it's not going to be easy. If your life as a Christian is easy, you're not serving the Lord correctly. I'm sorry to say that. Because you have a responsibility to go give them the good news and give them the bad news. The bad news is, if they don't receive the Lord through faith, they're going to hell. And they don't want to hear this. So my encouragement is that as believers, we should go out and we should not be afraid. These numbers are very shocking. And you will say to yourself, how can this be? What is it? Some governments just don't care around the world. They don't care about Jesus Christ. They don't care about soul winning. And we have a responsibility. I can tell you from personal experience that going out, it's not easy all the time. Our people, the majority of our people walk to church, and they get robbed. Some get raped. Some get murdered on their way to church. But the problem here is people wants to be in church. The Bible says in James 1, verse 2, he says, brethren, count it all joy when he fall into diverse temptations. In other words, I say to myself, how can God ask me to count it joy when somebody is trying to kill me? How can God ask me to count it as joy when a bunch of fags want me in prison? How can I count it joy? One thing that I've got, and it's this blessed assurance, that Jesus is with me all the way. So it is a joy unspeakable. I know of one thing, that he will never leave me. He will never forsake me, because I've been called to go out and preach the word of God. If we have a look at the leadership of Faithful Word Baptist Church, they are in the forefront of being persecuted. I mean, only in Tempe, Arizona will you find a pastor that has been banned from almost 40 countries. And then he counts a joy because he says, if they ban me, they give me media coverage and more people listen to me. And that is the gospel truth. Amen. I was in Botswana with Pastor Anderson, and I saw the media attention. And actually, I became a top of a celebrity because of Pastor Stephen. Because people want to hear the truth. But the government and wicked people wants to keep the truth from us. So we just need to stand up and stand firm and say, I am going to preach the word of God. I don't care what you say. If you want to lock me up, too bad. There's a lot of sodomites in jail. I need to preach to them as well. And that is what I told them. They said to me, what happens? What about your children? My children will survive. I need to preach the word. Friends, if you have a look at Pastor Stephen Anderson, he faces continuously, he's being persecuted, he's being pressed. I'm talking about him alone. But in South Africa, we have a flower. And it's called the Protea. And we've also got lilies in South Africa. Do you know, in order for any flower, the most beautiful flower in the world, to come alive and for you to enjoy it, it needs to push through dirt. And in life, we need to push as Christians through the dirt of sodomites, to the dirt of persecution, so that the beauty of God can shine through us. That is the only way that we are going to come right. Friends, the Bible says, if you're not ready for persecution, you better get ready. Get ready. Because if you're going to preach a true gospel, you are going to be persecuted. People don't care about your family. People don't care about your life as long as they can silence you. Why do they want to silence us? Because we are preaching the truth. And the gospel has become so watered down. People just don't care. They want to preach everything but the truth. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, this is a joy that we will receive once we go and meet Jesus one day. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Why do you worry? Why don't you want to come out soul winning? One thing that I know is that people out there need to hear the gospel. Amen. And they need to hear the true gospel. And who's going to tell it? Not Not the Anglican Church, because they say it's right to be a homo. Not the Catholic Church, because the majority of the priests are a bunch of homos. The people that needs to tell them are people that knows the true gospel. Saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. No works. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Bible-believing Christians today from endure everything from limitation to their freedom, their civil and religious rights is being scorned in the media. The media is one of our greatest enemies, although they're doing a good job for us. Because whenever they report negative about me, I know that people are coming to church. So they should keep on publishing negative stuff about us. Now the Bible is clear. He said, blessed. You are blessed when you are persecuted. To be persecuted means that someone is going to pursue you. So in other words, you must be ready for them. You must be ready. Whatever you do, you must say, as long as I know God, as long as I read my Bible, as long as I am going to preach the true word of God, I am going to be ready for them. Friends, I've personally gone through a lot of things in South Africa. In South Africa, I've been persecuted by the South African Human Rights Commission and faggots trying to stop me from preaching the truth. They say that I'm preaching a hate message. Do you know how it feels for a father to stand in court, a court where there are rapists are being trialed, a court where murderers and robbers is being trialed? You are standing there because you are preaching the word of God. Where a judge tells you that if you don't stop preaching, we are going to cast you in prison. When I went out of court and the media asked me, what are you going to do? I say, I'm going to continue to preach because no one is going to stop me. It's not that I'm in contempt of court, but the Bible instructs me, go into the world and I need to go. And even the judge needs to know that he needs to be saved. So friends, I've experienced a lot. My family have experienced a lot. We've gone through a lot. One day I got outside, I parked my vehicle. I'm just running through my notes here. I parked my vehicle outside, and suddenly when I came outside, all my tires of the vehicles were slashed. I went to the police station. They asked me, sir, do you know who did it? I say, no. They said to me, no, you cannot lodge a claim against them. My children, when they go to school, have to suffer also type of persecution because their father is preaching the truth. One day, one of my eldest daughter's teachers came to my house. And this is what the devil is doing. She came to my daughter with the idea she needs to come and say something to my daughter about schoolwork because she just stayed a couple of doors away from me. And I know that she was a lesbian. And she had the audacity to come with her partner, hand in hand, knock on my door. And when I came out, they were sitting in my lounge, hand in hand. And I said, hell no, get the hell out of my house. She said to me, but Mr. Bogart, I want to say something. I don't want to hear anything. Get the hell out of my house. Because this is my house. This is where I teach my children biblical values. And what you're doing in my house is an abomination. And we need to stand up because this is what the devil wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that it is fine because it is a teacher. No. You need to rebuke that spirit in that person and tell them, get the hell out of your house. Because as Christians, we need to stand up for what is right. Today in South Africa, our children are being targeted. Children as young as 7 and 8, they have a new curriculum in the public school that started now in the year 2020. Our new year started now on the 15th of January, where they want to teach children as young as 9 years old what homosexuals is doing in bed. And they say that parents don't need to be scared. They just want to teach children how to be more tolerant. How can my child be tolerant to such a lot of garbage? We shouldn't let our children, we should taught our children about the dangers of sex. That is what I believe. And unfortunately, we are living in a world where the government agree with it. And the government is giving money to that. When I was persecuted, I didn't have money to go to court. But the South African Human Rights Commission has government coffers full of money. They get themselves the best advocates. They get themselves the best attorneys to represent them in court. And there I stand. And then they tell me, go get yourself a lawyer. And then I say, no, but I don't have money for a lawyer. No, go to a state lawyer. And the next thing that they tell you at the state lawyer, we want you to go to that lawyer, and that lawyer is a fag. So how can that fag represent me in court? So this is what we had to go through. My pastor's friends, they've all turned their backs on me. I thought I had friends. I thought people were, when I was in court, I looked around. It's only my family. Where's the pastors who tells me that we want to be with you, we are behind you? Not one of them was standing behind me. They are a bunch of liars, because what happens if they are afraid to stand up? They have abortions in South Africa. They allow children as young as 12 to have consensual sex. And then what happens is if that child falls pregnant, that child can go without the consent of the parent, without the consent of a guardian. That child can go and have abortion free of charge. And then the mother won't even know that child had sex. That is an abomination. Amen. And no one wants to preach about it. All they want to preach about, when you come to South Africa, they want to preach prosperity. They want to shake your wallet and shake your pockets for money. And I say, time has come for the church to stand up and preach the true gospel. Irrespective of what's going to happen to you, you need to preach the truth. And that is what God wants us to do. Sadly, our people, they've conformed to the world. They've trusted the world. And I say, we as Christians, we need to stand up and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I agree with what Pastor last night said. We need to send soldiers, we need to send troops into the vineyards of the Lord to go and fight this fight. Just like America is sending troops to Iran to go and fight, we need, as Christians, needs to send up our troops. We need to train them. We need to give them training so that they can be equipped and go out into the field and win this battle for the Lord. I am glad. I thank God that I've met a man like Pastor Stephen Anderson, like the Faithful Word Baptist family. I am so glad I met you, because I have a family now. Although I need to travel 27 hours, 28 hours to be here, I have a family. And I know I have people that is praying for me. And I will continue to preach. I had to change my cell phone. I had to change my home phone. I had to change all my numbers, because homos were calling me and giving me a hard time. This is what the homos is doing. They call you, they ask me, they know I'm a marriage officer. They say, Pastor, I want you to marry us. I said, no, I don't marry fags. They report me. And then I'm in front of court again. One day a lady called me. She said to me, Pastor, the pastor who was going to marry my son, he didn't arrive. Can you please come out? And I had to go out to one of the rich suburbs, because the guy was getting married. When I got there, I said, okay, I'm going to help you. And when I got there, and then I was looking for a bride. I was looking for the bride. I didn't see the bride. And the groom came to me and said, Pastor, thank you very much. Are you going to help me? I said, where's the bride? No, the bride is coming now. I said, okay, the bride is coming now. And I'm waiting for the bride, because the bride is always late. And here into the room walks the dude. A black dude. I have to marry this? I said, hell no. Hell no. But I say, hell no, it's not going to happen. Not in my time. It's not going to happen. I walked out of there. We're not going to pay you. I don't want your money. It's fine. And this is the enemy. And they promised me they're going to give me good money to do or to officiate the marriage. I said to them, no, thank you. I will walk. You see, sometimes you get tested, especially when you don't have. You get tested. I know of a guy of UK that called me and asked me also to do a marriage for them. He offered me 3,000 rand. That's South African rand. I said, no. He offered me 5,000 rand. I still said, no. He said to me, what type of guy am I? I'm the type of guy who serves the Lord. And the Bible teaches me in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, not to another man. And this is what we need to get through our skull. We are living in a time and a day where we are going to be persecuted every day of our lives. Friends, we are going to be persecuted because we love Christ. All Christians should be expected to be persecuted because of the lifestyle and your godly relationship that you have with God. All Christians will be persecuted. If everyone says to you, no, you're fine, remember one thing, you're not fine. You're not fine. Because people need to say, no, I don't agree with you. Then you know you're on the right path. All Christians will be persecuted because we serve the Lord. Serving the Lord, even Jesus Christ himself was persecuted. Even Jesus Christ himself has to endure a lot of suffering and pain. Now, who are you and I to say, no, we don't want to be persecuted. No, we don't want to be part of this. Let me say to you, persecution, we need to count it all joy. I count it joy because look where I am. I've got family here. I thought that everybody has given up on me. And then I heard about this guy, Pastor Stephen Anderson, that wants to come into South Africa. And they said, no, we don't want this guy here because he's a hate preacher. What is a hate preacher? The only thing that people want to preach is about the love of God. And we forget about the wrath of God. We forget about that. This is a man that stands up for principles. And he's denied entering to the country. He didn't kill anyone. He didn't say anything wrong about the government. But yet, and I need to say this, yet, this is a man that will walk 150,000 miles with you as long as you preach the true gospel, as long as you're not ashamed to preach the gospel. Friends, we will be persecuted because we serve the Lord. If you love Jesus, you are going to be persecuted. The name of Jesus always points to offense. Oh, you love Jesus. You are a follower of Jesus. Even Peter, when they asked him, but you were the guy that was with him. He said, no, not me. Not me, perhaps someone else. You see, so whenever we preach, whenever we teach the word of God, you have the assurance of being persecuted. But let me say this to you. Whenever you are persecuted, know one thing. Whenever the police stops you from doing soul winning, whenever people want to block you, know one thing. You have the blessed assurance that Jesus will always be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to preach to your people. Father, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for your people. Thank you for putting words into my mouth. Father, I pray that while we here at this missions conference, make us strong Christians. Make us Christians that will be ready for this war. I ask this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. That was great. Thank you. You know, the Great Commission is to get people saved, to get people baptized, and to teach them to observe all things that Christ commanded us. So, you know, one of the things about missions that I noticed when I was growing up is that some missionaries have an attitude of kind of dumbing things down on the mission field and saying, like, hey, you know, these are all new believers. Let's keep it basic. And you know, we don't want to preach too hard. We're not going to be too controversial. And they want to kind of just preach salvation and only the milk of the word. But in reality, in the United States, you know, our churches all have babes in Christ in them as well. And so the same thing that we need here in the U.S. is the same thing that we need in any part of the world, which is the entire Bible being preached.
Amen.
Okay. And it might seem like, oh, when you preach hard against sin, you're turning people away. But actually, you end up bringing people in, too. Because everybody in Cape Town knows who Pastor Bogart is. Because he's been preaching and standing up for these things. And that actually ends up with more people hearing the gospel in the long run. And he's not exaggerating about how dangerous it is there, by the way. It is a very dangerous place. So pray for him, because the dangers are real over there, if you know anything about South Africa and what it's like. Anyway, thank you very much, Pastor Bogart. And now at this time, we're going to sing one song, and then we're going to hear from Brother Chris Segura.
All right, grab your hymnal and turn over to song number 410. Faith is the victory, song number 410. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all gird about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes a foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts will love aflame. We'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalms number 44. Psalms chapter number 44. If you have your Bibles, tablet, whatever it is that you use, go to Psalms 44. And while you're going to Psalms 44, I'm just going to talk about South Africa a little bit. And this is why we're having this conference, to show people around the world the doors that God has given us, the doors that he has opened, that if you're there, you can go through. Nobody knew about Pastor Sepulveda until I think probably a few years ago, but now we know a little bit more about him. I had no clue he had two churches, not just one. And I'm sure you have heard of Pastor Bogart. But it's good that now you can see him live, get to know him a little bit more, and get to know him throughout the conference. Doing good so far, my friend? Okay. So then as far as South Africa, these are some things that I think will motivate you to either support him, get behind South Africa, or just kind of know a little bit of of South Africa, a little bit of information about it. So the first thing I want to just talk about is that South Africa is technically called the Republic of South Africa. Am I correct? So it's the Republic. And so when it comes to South Africa, well, this is the last number. This is the highest number that I found. 55 million people. It's a big country, correct? And in regards to how big it is, where's my people from Texas? Brother Phil? Anybody else from Texas? Texas? Three people? Four? Give you an idea, South Africa is three times bigger than Texas. So reaching Texas is already a big job, is it not? And your goal is to reach the entire thing, is it not? Well, South Africa, you got three times the work, my friend. But God has opened up doors, and we also have another Baptist church down there. It's called Morningstar Baptist, so he's not the only church that's winning souls every week, knocking doors, you know, reaching the lost. So in regards to South Africa, the capital city is Pretoria. About 740,000 people live in that city, but the largest city is Johannesburg. Almost a million, 957,000 as we speak. My man, Pastor Bogart, is from Cape Town, 433,000. So you got a big job all by yourself down there. But I pray to the, you know, the Lord of the harvest, that he raise up laborers into your harvest and help you out. Now, there's a lot of languages in South Africa. Here's just three. They speak Zulu, Afrikaans, English. We help South to help him out. But there's 11 official languages in South Africa, making it the most languages, or at least a country with the most languages in the world. And for those of you that are interested and may not know, their currency is called Rand, R-A-N-D, but it's known as South African Rand. So in regards to the religions, you got Islam down there. When I was down there, I've been there twice. I was there in 2017. I was there last year in October in 2019. I did notice Islam. I did notice a lot of Muslims. I didn't notice as many Hindus there. I guess Judaism is big down there, but Christianity as well. And when I say Christianity, anybody that names the name of Christ, they consider Christians down there. That could be Pentecostals, that could be Catholic, that could be Jehovah's Witnesses, Baptists. But in a way, this is good. 80% of the 55 million, 80% of those claim to be Christian in one way or another. So to help us out to finish the job that, you know, the Catholics aren't doing, Jehovah's Witnesses aren't doing, Presbyterians, whatever, they're not getting the job done because of the gospel, because they don't believe in the gospel. They don't. At least they're kind of helping us out, telling people they're sinners. Hey, letting people know that you're going to burn in hell for your sins and that Christ died. But you're not, you know, they're not telling them that eternal life is a gift. Right. It's rare to find any churches down there. When I was down there, we visited some churches. It was repent of your sins, change your ways. It wasn't good as far as the condition of South Africa. But in regards to some things about South Africa, here's a couple of things. A couple of popular countries that are bordered with South Africa, Zimbabwe. And those of you that are part of the deported, you know, caste, then you know what other country borders South Africa? Botswana. And you guys will get to know about that when you watch the film. But I'll just throw these things out there and then I'll explain why. Obviously, I mentioned that 65 million people to kind of motivate you to realize that he does have a big work. Remember, hey, pray for him, that God will help him out miraculously because he's going to need it. But I guess there's a bridge down there. Correct me if I mispronounce the name. Blue Cross Bridge? Is that correct? You're familiar with that? About 7 hours from Cape Town? Well, apparently this is the highest bridge for bungee jumping in the world. Why mention that? Well, something to do if you want to go visit Pastor Bogart. Go jump off a bridge. Amen? Any adrenaline junkies in here? Largest bridge in the entire world where people do bungee jumping. Do that before you go sweating and kind of kick those nerves out, you know? If you can handle the bridge, you can handle door-to-door in South Africa, right? Like Pastor Anderson said, yes, it is a dangerous place. I guess to prepare yourself, go jump off the bridge. If that don't kill you, that don't scare you off, I think so, and you'll be fine. But safety is of the Lord, amen? Amen? But I will say this, the Lord doesn't want us to be stupid, okay? So if you do go over there, hey, yes, safety is of the Lord, but don't be stupid, all right? Listen to Pastor Bogart. He'll guide you. He'll keep you safe. He kept me very safe. I didn't even notice a crime. I didn't even think I was in danger. I felt like I lived there my whole life because it makes it easy to go up and down that country. But in regards to Cape Town, it also is one of the top three places to go great white shark diving. Anybody likes to go diving in here? I didn't think so. Oh, one guy over there. All right. Well, there you go. You want to go shark diving? He'll take you to the spot. Great whites are down there waiting for you. All right. The other place is Guadalupe Island, Mexico. And there's another one that's the top three.
I'm pretty sure somebody in here knows. Who thinks they know the other great spot for great white shark diving? Who thinks they know? I'll give you a clue. Where's my people from Australia? Did they run? What's that?
Australia.
Man, I wasn't waiting for you. I was waiting for the Australians to say that. But that's okay. But besides that, here's some stuff you guys may want to know. South Africa's tap water is considered to be the third best and safest water in the world that is ready to drink right out of the faucet. So you can just visit Pastor Bogard and be okay with your water. Amen? But just so you know, just like Australia, just the United Kingdom, South Africa also drives on the left side of the road, okay? Just to give you the heads up on that. But the best kept secret, the best thing about South Africa, as far as my opinion, is Pastor Bogard, amen?
Amen?
Best kept secret. Hey, if you come visit him, he will not let you down. He knows South Africa, especially Cape Town, like the back of his hand. He'll take you up and down. All the great street food, he knows all of that, correct? Amen, I'm glad to hear. Now, Psalms 44, let's take a look at what it says in Psalms 44. And the title of my message is this, South Africa, deported but not aborted, amen? Deported but not aborted. Quickly, what do I mean by aborted? Hey, yes, we were deported. Technically, we had a couple people that actually touched down. I'll talk about that in a minute. But they were obviously there, but they were kicked out. They were kicked out of that country. But God's will for that country was never aborted. What I mean by aborted, it was never canceled. You know, it was never given up on. It was never terminated. And what was God's will? The same will he has for Australia, the same will he's had for every single country, to go and preach the gospel to every single creature. Every single creature. So that was never aborted. That was never canceled. Yes, our people were deported, but God's main mission, the Great Commission, was never aborted ever. The entire time all this was happening, amen? But it sometimes can feel that way. Sometimes when you're serving the Lord, especially if you're in a country that doesn't have any church, and they do exist, and you may be the only one that you know that's saved, you may feel like God doesn't really care about my country, doesn't really care about my area, but that's not biblical whatsoever. You know where that's coming from? From the deceitful heart that we have. Because the heart is deceitful above all men and desperately wicked. Same thing, you could be a pastor in a rough area. Could be Australia. You may be thinking, man, has God forsaken his place? Well, you know what? As far as the Bible's concerned, it doesn't say preach the gospel until you feel like I don't want it there anymore. It says preach the gospel until the end of the world. Does it not say that? So you keep going, Australia, England, you name it. You keep knocking doors, you keep going. But like Pastor Bogart said, and I'm picking it up where he left off, no matter what happens, no matter what you feel, just remember, God is still with you. No matter how you feel, no matter what you think, hey, the only way you can get to the point where you wonder, where is God in all this? I'm serving the Lord, things aren't going great, I'm getting persecuted, hey, my work is giving me a hard time. What is the deal with this? Is God even awake? Is he even paying attention? Well, let's see what's going on in this story. Psalms 44, the psalmist says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, Mashal, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what worked out this in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. So he's saying, hey, we've heard about you. Our fathers have taught about you, Lord. Hey, we know that you cast out the heathen. We knew you took them out. We know that you gave us the land, not by our own sword, not from our own arms did we save ourselves. It was you. It was your right hand. It was your arm. You're the reason why we got what we got. Because you favored us. And that's why it's so important to do the right thing so you can have favor in your life so God can bless you and use you and protect you and help you to do what you need to do here on earth. Because it says in Proverbs 22:1, you don't have to go there. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Yes, having money gives you power. But more important than that is just doing the right thing. That'll get you favor with God. And that's way more powerful than all the money in the world that you can get. They can help you do whatever you think is going to allow you to do God's work. No, being in favor with God, having favor with him, that's the ultimate power. That's the ultimate thing. And this is what he's saying. You chose us. We were able to succeed. We were able to defeat the enemy because you favored us. Well, I wonder how they got the favor. By following the Lord, by serving him. And it says right there in 44:4, thou art my king, O God. So it's clear who he's worshiping. Our king, God Almighty. It says, command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them down under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. And this is the truth that we need to realize. Yes, we will have enemies serving the Lord, but at the end of the day, and you'll find out from watching that movie, Deported, God will put your enemies, which are also God's enemies, to shame. Never forget that. The victory is ultimately yours, even though there may be some situations where you're wondering, where is the Lord? What is going on? Why am I being persecuted? Everybody's forsaking me. I'm in South Africa all alone. But he never gave up. He never gave up anything because he knew he's really not alone. Yes, he has a family now. He has people to support him. But even if we didn't, he can realize very quickly, nobody's with me. I got the Lord. He's with me. That's the reason he was able to do what he did in court. That's why he's able to push through, even though no one's supporting you anymore. Because you're going to get him in hot water. That's why they forsook him. But he knows we're backing him up down here. But even if we didn't, verses like these remind us who's really in charge, and God is all we need ultimately. So in verse number 8, it says, "In God we boast all the day long." This is a man who's bragging about God. God is so great. Praise thy name forever, Selah. "But thou," now it gets a little bit different. Now the tone seems to change in Psalms 44. "But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemies." Now it seems like things have turned around. Now instead of winning, now they're losing. He's seeing like, oh, now we're losing. What's going on? "And they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat," like animals just going to get slaughtered in the meat factory, "and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people." And when it started all back in 2017 with South Africa, it was all just with a soul winning marathon. That's all it was. We're going to set up a soul winning marathon. It was announced, but the government didn't like it. It wasn't we were going down there to preach against anybody or any particular people. It was just to go down there and get people saved, find people that are in South Africa, train them up like the Bible says in the way to go, train them up to obey him, train them up to be soul winners, and it all went down. To the point where Pastor Anderson, as you'll find out from the movie Deported, and if you already know, then great, he was eventually banned from South Africa. But a couple of our church members were able to make it in the country, but they weren't allowed to go into the country per se. They kept them in the airport, one for about 12 hours, the other for about 15 hours, and then sent right back. Why? Because they didn't want us there. For what reason? We were there just to save souls, so these people were controlled by Satan, and they didn't want people to get saved. But you know what? At the end of the day, this is what ended up happening. All this stuff that went down at first is confusing. You're wondering, like, what is this about? When I first heard that they were going to South Africa, I was excited. I was like, wow, they're going to South Africa? That's amazing. And they talked about getting banned. We're thinking, no way are they going to ban them. It's God's will for us to preach the gospel to every creature. But then again, we ended up having to deal with the fact that, yes, eventually they got banned. And at that point, you can see how people could have been confused. Like, what in the world? Did we do something wrong? And that's what people were saying. See, Pastor Anderson said, if you didn't preach the way you preach, none of this would have happened. You guys would have been allowed into the country, the marathon would have happened, and hundreds of souls would have got saved. That's what people were saying. Hey, maybe we did screw this up. I don't know what we did wrong exactly, but hey, look, we ended up getting banned, no marathon, no souls getting saved. It looked bad, or at least it seemed to look bad. Following so far? Same thing here. People were shaking their heads, like it says right there in verse 14, and the shaking of the head among the people. Verse 15, my confusion. So now he's confused. He's like, okay, we know about you. We've been told by our fathers how great you are for God. We've read it. We've seen it. We know we got the victory. We didn't beat the enemies through our weapons, through our might. It was all through you. It was all by having favor with you. But now we're losing to the enemy. Now we're losing to the bad guys. And I'm confused. And my confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face have covered me. Verse 16, for the voice of him that reproaches and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger, all this has come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee? Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back. Neither have its steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. What he's saying is, look, Lord, what are we doing that's wrong? You know if we're actually worshiping another God. You know if we're not obeying your commandments. Why are we losing to the enemy? Because sometimes God allows you to lose to the enemy so you can win the overall war. Amen? And so what happened is, yes, Pastor Anderson was in the media. He was being demonized. But guess what? Truly, for the person who's living right with God, truly for the person who's obeying the Lord, there really is no such thing as bad press, bottom line. They're trying to make him look bad, but in the eyes of people that knew better, he looked good.
That's right.
Amen? And not just that, it wasn't just you, it was other people. Other people that heard about Pastor Anderson through the media, started looking him up, and they weren't fooled. And when I think of individuals, I think of this guy named Nico, who I met back in 2017. The first time I went to South Africa, Pastor Borgard had a soul winning marathon for the poor. It was to feed the poor. And sure enough, he couldn't make it, but his 60-plus-year-old father did make it. And I saw him when he showed up, get out of his car. His father had a hard time walking. He got out of the vehicle, and he just wanted to show his support for soul winning. He had also listened to Pastor Anderson, but Nico had come across Pastor Anderson. Nico ended up getting saved, saw him in the media, looked at Pastor Anderson, saw the salvation presentation, got saved, and later on he passed it on to his father. And sure enough, they started to listen to Pastor Anderson, doing their best to witness. So sure enough, Nico's dad, he came to the soul winning marathon. I got to meet him. He was very excited that somebody's sticking up for the word of God. He was actually surprised that Pastor Anderson wasn't there. He thought he could somehow sneak his way in. He thought he was that good. You know, but here's the thing. If it weren't for all this, if it weren't for the fact that we got banned, if we would have just been quiet about it and not announced it, if Pastor Anderson had never been banned, this man would have never, ever got saved. And when did he pass away? A few months ago? A few months ago, Nico's dad, you know, just from health reasons, passed away last year. But had not this happened, have we not been banned, had this not been in the media, sure enough, his soul would be in hell today. But the fact that Nico came across Pastor Anderson through the media, ended up seeing the gospel presentation, ended up getting saved himself, passing it on to his father, passing it on to other people. And I did meet Nico. He was very, very excited to see that we were there trying to get people saved. He couldn't join us because he had to work. He just got a job. He couldn't get the time off. But his father says, hey, I want to support this cause. This is very important. He figured it out, and that's how it all started. So even though we may see in Scripture where he's confused, the psalmist is confused, like, what's going on? What's the situation? And go ahead and go to verse 21. He even says some things that if we're not careful, we can even say ourselves, even though we should know better because we have the entire Bible, Old and New Testament. So verse 21 says this, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart? Yea, for thy sake, you know, are we killed all the day long? We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. 'Tis awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. He literally is telling God to awake, to wake up like God ever sleeps. We know he doesn't because Psalms 121:4 says this, before he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But verse 24, I'll finish that up with that. It says, wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Go to Judges 6, please. Go to Judges 6. So what I'm showing is simply this, is that here's a man who knows God is powerful. Here's a man whose parents, his fathers, had taught him the word of God, taught him how great God is, taught him about the victories, taught him about what had happened in the Bible. But yet, when bad things happen, he gets a little confused, where he's wondering what exactly is going on. And he ends up getting confused to the point where he's literally saying, God, wake up. Can't you see? Look at our affliction. Look at what's happening to us. And this is what can happen to any of us at any level. If you're a pastor, bad things can start happening to you, and bad things are happening to you for the right reasons. That's a good thing. Amen. You know, but you can actually wonder, like, what's going on? What am I doing that's wrong? And this is why we got to stick to the Scriptures and read the Scriptures. And maybe some of you guys that don't have a church, and I ran into one so far, says, look, I don't really have a good church, but I'm still knocking doors. I'm still pretty encouraged. Yeah, I listen to the preaching. So far, so good. Well, great. But if you get to that point where you're wondering, like, man, where is God? Things are going bad. I'm getting attacked. I'm losing my job. Things are going negatively. You got to remember that at the end, you will win. At the end, like Pastor Bogart said at the end of his message, God is there. Amen. Even though we may not feel like he is. You know, so if you're right there in the book of Judges, you know, Gideon was somebody who was a great man of God, but he felt that way as well. He started to wonder, where is God in all this? You know, but the reason why I called this sermon South Africa Deported But Not Aborted, or Deported Not Aborted, is because when we ended up getting deported out of there, some people kind of gave up on South Africa. Like, oh, well, I guess God doesn't realize Juan is there. You know, which it ended up being a complete and total opposite. Why? Because now Pastor Bogart, if it weren't for this whole incident, I don't think you'd be winning souls every week, my friend, just being honest. Would you agree with that, or am I lying? Because you had a different system, did you not? You had, what was it called? Open-air services. And what was the other one that you had? Crusades. So his was crusades, open-air services. But in reality, do you think you're really getting anybody saved? No. It wasn't until you saw Pastor Anderson, the door-to-door, and now you learned it, and now you're continuing that, correct? Amen. Same thing. Down in Johannesburg, we have Morning Star Baptist Church. They're doing the exact same thing. Now we have that door open. They're going week to week, knocking doors, getting people saved. And even though you guys did not, you know, finish up the soul winning marathon back in 2017, let's just say it did go on. Let's just say you guys did get there and got the job done. I would say you probably would have got about 100 people saved, you know, pretty realistically. But since 2017, plus the last time we were there in October, not just that, the soul winning you're doing on a weekly basis, plus what Morning Star is doing, I would assume that they probably have gotten a couple hundred people saved or even 300 people saved. Amen? So we got to remember that even though, yes, we got banned from South Africa, even though, yes, the marathon didn't go through, even though, yes, the enemy seemed to be triumphing, seemed to be beating us, at the end you kind of wonder, where is God in all this? Does he even care about South Africa? Of course he does. The Great Commission is still there. Every creature means every creature. South Africa, Australia, every single one. So let's never lose the focus that we're still here. So whatever happens, so what? What does it have to do with us, you know, not continuing the mission? You know, but when it comes to Judges, if you're right there in Judges chapter number 6, you know, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our father told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked unto him and said, go, and this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And this is kind of something that reminds me of Pastor Bogart, because he can easily say, look, I'm poor. You know, I'm not a popular guy. I'm not a rich guy. And it's like, Lord, but if you want to use me, I'll get people saved. I'll start knocking doors. I'll train people how to get out there and knock doors and from house to house. You know, and even though, yes, South Africa is a place that people say is a dangerous place, when you're doing God's will, I'm going to just be honest with you, it's not dangerous. When I was there with Pastor Bogart, he told me, hey, just listen to me. Do what I tell you to do. I'll keep you safe. I'm like, hey, no problem. You know this place better than me. I didn't really see anything. Maybe I saw something, but in reality, I feel safe. I feel completely safe. You know, so I believe if you were to go down there and you're doing the will of the Lord, I don't think you have to worry about things going bad or going bad for you, no matter what you hear about that country, no matter whether that country's crime is going up or not. Hey, if safety is of the Lord, you go there, pair up with Brother Bogart, you support Brother Bogart, he'll take you places, you'll be safe, you're not going to have to worry about you being in really harm's way because you're doing the will of the Lord. You know, but I'm reminding you guys of this because I see it also in Romans, where in Romans, Paul is talking to Romans, and he's talking about Psalms 44. So if you have your Bible, just go to Romans chapter number 8. Go to Romans chapter number 8. And I'm going to start off in verse number 35. If you can get there, great. You know, but just go ahead and go to Romans 36 or 8:36. But I'm going to read from Romans 8:35 that says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? It says right there, from whom the Lord loveth, I'm going into Proverbs 3:12. It says, from whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs 15:9 says this, the way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord, but the Lord loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And in Habakkuk 12:6, it says this, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. So in regards to God's love, his protection, bottom line, nothing can separate you from the love of God. He's there. He's there 24/7. If you feel like God has forsook you, God is not with you, that's not the truth. The bottom line is this, if you're doing good, God loves you. If you get into sin, he even loves you. But if you get into sin, he obviously is going to chastise you, but he's never going to forsake you. And like it says in Romans 8:36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. This is referring to Psalm 44. And in Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So key thing I want you guys to realize is, once again, in Romans 8:37, he's reminding the Romans that no matter what, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So for people like Pastor Bogart, if you keep that fresh in your heart, realizing, like he said, you are not alone. No matter what your mission in life is, no matter what you are, pastor, just somebody in another country who doesn't have anybody, who doesn't have anybody they can pair up with automatically, you know, eventually God probably will send you people that you can pair up in other countries, be able to go knock doors and get the Great Commission accomplished. But the main thing I want you guys to remember is that you are never alone. No matter where you are in this world, hey, the mission is still there. God still wants us to go out there and preach the gospel to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, regardless of what nation you're in. If Pastor Bogart can do it in South Africa, hey, we should be able to do it in other countries. If it's receptive, great. If it's not, then it's not. But never forget that fact is that, yes, Things are not going to go well all the time, but it's not that God's not there. It's that God may allow things to happen a certain way. So ultimately, we will win the war. Ultimately, his word will be spread. Ultimately, souls will be saved, no matter how it looks like in the beginning. Amen? And I'll finish it up with Mark 16. Obviously, Pastor Borgard read from Mark 28, but you don't have to go to Mark 16, where Jesus reminds us, you know, that he's there doing the work. So we're out here knocking doors, whatever country you're in. The Lord is always with us. And I'll just start in verse 16, Mark 16, 19. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. And here's the part that I want you guys to listen up and just, you know, remind you guys of. It says, the Lord working with them. So when we're doing God's work, we're not in it alone. God's with us. He's working with us. Amen. And he also said that in Matthew 28, when he said, teaching them to observe all things whatever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you, not some of the time, but always, even unto the end of the world. So why is the world so upset at Pastor Borgard? Because their biggest fears is that he's going to expose them. That's the biggest reason they're upset. But you know what? Our desires are going to come true. Their fears are going to come true. And here's the thing. The Bible makes it very clear, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon them. So the biggest reason they didn't want Pastor Anderson in their country is because they didn't want their nation to start figuring out the truth about homosexuality. They didn't want their nation, you know, start realizing what the gospel really is. They wanted to keep that out. But did it work? Absolutely not. It ended up actually doing the complete opposite. So their fears came to pass. Our desire ended up happening. We wanted to go down there and have a marathon and win hundreds of people to the Lord. That seemed like it was shut down, made us wonder, like, what's going on? May I confuse some people here and there? May I made other people believe that we did something wrong? But ultimately, what happened? Ultimately, now we have Pastor Borgard, soul-winning church. Now we have another Baptist church in Johannesburg, and they're going to probably end up being more churches down the road. So in the end, guess what ended up happening? God gave us the ultimate desire that we have, and that's to get a lot of people saved in South Africa. Amen? Amen. Why? Because we did the right thing. Why? Because we sought the Lord. Psalms 37:3, as a reminder, says, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of their heart. And amen, that happened with South Africa. Was to win people to the Lord. Seems like we got shut down. Didn't get shut down. God extended it. Needed that to happen. Word got spread. People like Nico's dad ended up getting saved. Now he's with the Lord. And in reality, we don't have anything to fear. Yes, it's a hard place. But hey, have you really suffered to the point where somebody has physically attacked you or your family or your children? No. Pretty much just threats of going to jail for 10 years. Is that what they've been hitting you with? But has the Lord delivered you from all your troubles or some of your troubles? All your troubles, amen? And it's the same for us. But look, we're not going to be naive either. I'll finish it with 1 Corinthians 16:9. Hey, that is a great door, South Africa. Australia, great door with Pastorship of Vida. Obviously, we got more countries like the Philippines that we're going to learn about. We understand all of that. Great doors that God has opened, but we're not ignorant. We're not dumb. We know, like it says in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are not some, but many adversaries. Amen? No matter where you're at, whether you're in your home state, whatever country you're in, God opens doors. We're going to walk through them. We know that it's going to be well. At the end, we're going to win the war. But we're not going to be naive to the point we're going to think that there aren't going to be any adversaries, there aren't going to be problems, because there will be. Amen? So just prepare yourselves, and you will do well if you realize that 1 Corinthians 16:9 is something that you need to meditate on, is something that God has promised. He promises to open doors, but he also promises to have adversaries as well. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for allowing us to show people every opportunity, all the doors that you've given us. And we ask you to do all this in your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So don't give up on South Africa. There's still a lot going on in South Africa. And South Africa is a very receptive place to go soul winning. It's not a little bit receptive. It's very receptive.
Amen.
It's a great soul winning opportunity. And I want to read an email that I got. And this is an email that I got a year and a half ago, okay? Because we were kicked out of South Africa back in 2016, so over 3 years ago. But here's an email from a year and a half ago, July 13, 2018. This is from Brother Sean Heukelman at Morning Star Baptist Church in South Africa. Hi, Pastor. Just thought I'd give you some feedback since I last contacted you. We are now standing on 484 souls won to the Lord. So that was after a little over a year and a half after the incident where we were kicked out of South Africa. Just this one crew in Middelburg had a total of 484 salvations in a period of what, like almost 2 years. And this is a year and a half ago. What have they done since then? You know, because they're still going strong. They had a total of 484 souls won to the Lord, and we have four faithful soul winners, people that are consistently going out. I also bought a DVD copier tower and can now make 11 copies at a time. It was great for a soul-winning marathon we had last week when we opened Morningstar Independent Fundamental Baptist Church in Middleburg. They had 84 people saved at the big soul-winning event that had happened at that time. People here are so happy, and we're going to do great things here. We are going big. A church visitor asked me, what will we do when we finish with Middleburg with soul-winning? And we answered him that then we go to the next province and then all of South Africa. People are hungry for the truth. Something great's happening across the world, and it's great to be a part of it. So I like that attitude of that email. And so this is just one crew of people that have just been week in, week out, going soul winning. Of course, Pastor Bogart's work is going forward in Cape Town. And what we want to encourage you to do, if you have a burden for South Africa, if you'd like to go and be a part of it, then get in touch with Pastor Bogart. You can fly into Cape Town from all over the world. I wouldn't recommend just doing like a Lone Ranger thing in South Africa where you just kind of go there and just figure it out as you go, because you might end up in a body bag, all right? But if you go to Cape Town, you know, Pastor Bogart is there to show you the ropes. He'll keep you safe. He knows which areas to avoid. He knows what the dangers are and how to avoid them, so he can keep you safe. And not only that, Pastor Bogart has a lot of connections where he's helped our people preach in schools, preach in churches. He also does Feed the Hungry over there, because there are a lot of people that are really poor in the Cape Town area. So he feeds the hungry, and then basically when they do those events, tons of people come, and you can win the souls of the people that come for the food. You can preach to them. You can do soul winning. So there are a lot of opportunities in South Africa. The work is going forward. Do not give up on South Africa. It is still a place where I believe God has big plans for a lot of people to get saved. So let's go ahead and before we're dismissed, let's go ahead and sing our song one more time off the green sheets. Of course, we emphasize South Africa and Botswana this morning, but also another place we want to keep on our hearts and minds is Nigeria, because, again, Nigeria is the most populated country in Africa, and so there's going to be a lot of soul winning that needs to happen in Nigeria as well. And one of the great things about Nigeria, too, is that English is an official language there. And so even if you don't speak Yoruba or Igbo or Hausa or one of those other languages, you know, you can go to these places and just use English. You can go to Cape Town and just preach the gospel in English. You can go to Nigeria. You can go to Botswana and preach in English. So these are great places to go. But forget English for now, because we're singing in Yoruba. Get on the simplified, all right? Make sure that you're looking at the back of the paper where it says simplified. Unless you're Lola, then you're looking at the front. Everybody else is looking at the back. All right, let's sing it out on that first verse. Jesu femi emi ma bi beli so fun me be. Tere la wan amade, wan kolak barahone. A Jesu femi, a Jesu femi, a Jesu femi, bi beli safun mi. Jesu fe mi otiku, lati si arun sile, yi owe esheminu, yoje komare wole. A Jesu fe mi, a Jesu fe mi. Jesu femi, bibeli safun mi. Jesu femi, o femi, biemiti lesaisan, lo rakete arun mi. O ti tere wasa mi, a Jesu femi, a Jesu femi, a Jesu femi, bibeli safun mi. All right, we're dismissed. Be sure, if you haven't already, to head back to the tables in the back and get signed up. Put down what time you're planning on going to the Deported showing. 1 o'clock, 3:20, 5:40, or 8 p.m. You don't have to be signed up, but we would like to know. So sign up for one of those time slots. Super Saver Cinema 8 in Phoenix, 2710 West Bell Road. North Phoenix, it should be about 25 minutes from here. And then also sign up for the lunches. Sign up for the testimonies. So head back there and sign up. And then at 11:45, if you're part of the special lunches today, then meet up with either myself, Pastor Aaron Thompson, or Pastor Kevin Sepulveda for the lunches. We're gonna regroup for that in about 15 minutes. And then we're going to have soul winning here at 1 o'clock. Now, as far as food places around here, there are lots of great food places to eat very close to here. If you're looking for a halfway nutritious option, as I always am, we've got a Chipotle 1 mile from here, all right? We've got a Panda Express. There's a pita place called Pita Bistro that's really good. We got, is there still a Subway across the street? I think there's like a Subway right across the street. If you go just 3 miles west of here, 24th Street and Baseline, there's a Rubio's, which is probably the most authentic chain, like national chain of Mexican food. It's pretty good. Rubio's. I think there's like a Fired type pizza place over there. There's a lot of great food. So you're on your own for lunch. 1 o'clock is soul winning, or 1 o'clock is deported if you're heading up that way. All right. God bless. We're dismissed.